Welcome back to Techtopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have the ethical hacker, Ralph Echamendia. This is Techtopia. This episode of Technotopia is sponsored by CheapTranscription.io. CheapTranscription offers 10 cent per minute transcription using our happy robots or 85 cents per minute using our human assistants. CheapTranscription.io is cheaper and faster than everyone else. CheapTranscription.io. This episode of Technotopia is brought to you by Typewriter.plus. Typewriter.plus is a full-service editorial agency that brings amazing editors from places like the New York Times and TechCrunch to work on your writing. Need a blog post, a white paper, a presentation? The Typewriter team can write or edit anything on nearly any topic. Visit them at typewriter.plus for a free quote. That's typewriter.plus, typewriter.plus. Welcome back to Techtopia, the podcast about a better future. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Brian Rogers. He's the founder of brianrogers.com and a good buddy. We met last, I guess, in Boulder, and I think you were a little bit different when I last saw you, right? What's been going on?
Hey, John. Wow. I was a little bit different. I can't remember how long ago that's been, but probably
it's gotta be about a year and a half.
I think so. Yeah. It's been,
been quite
a while. Yeah. So you probably, we haven't seen each other in person since then. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little bit different. I'm not 300 pounds anymore. I'm about 160 pounds now.
Mm-hmm.
So, about 140 pounds difference.
And that's all because you ate a bunch of bacon fat and hamburgers and stuff, right? Is that how it all shook out?
See, that is how you remember me though, right? Eating bacon fat and ribs and chicken, and that is my background actually, is bacon, mm-hmm, fat and ribs and chicken. And yeah, I decided to stop. I sold a company in 2018 that I'd been working on for a while in June of 2018. You and I, you know, when we were in Boulder together, I was working as the CTO for a different company, mm-hmm, but I was also working on a merchant account company that I sold to Experian, the credit bureau, in June of 2018.
Oh, wow.
And I looked in the mirror after, and this was just shortly after you and I actually saw each other in Boulder for the last time. I looked in the mirror and I'm like, man, you are disgusting. You look like a guy who's been sitting in front of a computer writing code for 24 years without ever getting outside. And so I said, you know what? I love barbecue. So I'm going to do this. I'm either going to go get gastric bypass surgery or I'm going to modify my barbecue recipes and I'm going to start walking. And that's what I did. I started walking and modified my recipes. And here I am, 160 pounds, you know, a year later.
So I don't want to make this a weight loss podcast, but I think that's fascinating. So you were basically, I mean, for all intents and purposes, let's call it what it is. We're addicted to tech.
Yep.
And it could be workaholicism. It could be us just like seeing what the next thing does that we put in when we press the button. Right. And you kicked that habit, it seems, but you're still programming. But it was just a few minor changes in your lifestyle that caused this sea change, right?
It was. I mean, like, tech's been my life, as you know, and your life pretty, you know, for forever, over 25 years now. And it was just something I never really paid attention to. I think it's really important for us people that are sitting in front of the computer every day, and particularly we have a soft spot for programmers and developers and chief technical, mm-hmm, officers and things like that. It's important for us to just take a step back every once in a while and just look at our health. It really is. Like, it's not about weight loss, and I'm not real into weight loss and stuff like that, although I own a food company mm-hmm, now. You do need to take a step back. And I'll tell you what, since I did get my health in order and lost some weight and things, it actually made me a better programmer. It helped me focus a lot better. Mm-hmm. I had a lot more energy, so I didn't always feel tired. Like, you know, I have to drink 3 pots of coffee to keep going. You know what I mean? Like, I was able to cut out coffee in the process. I maybe do 1 or 2 cups a day now, but, yeah, it's important for you to evaluate where you're at, and it does affect your performance in front of the computer for sure.
Hmm. So I think that's the age old question. Like, you let yourself go, for example, because you want your brain to work. And I mean, that's been the purview of nerds for centuries, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, Ben Franklin got big because he wrote a lot of books and he ate a lot of French frites or whatever in Paris, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
And then, So this is a question that I've had for a while. Do you think there's going to be a situation where a voice in your head, let's say it's a VR thing, let's say it's an audio interface or something that says, "Hey, John, don't eat that. Go down the street and get yourself a veggie burrito today because your blood sugar level is XYZ. And if you want to maintain your weight, current weight loss, you have to do that." Do you think that's ever going to be a situation, ever going to be a tool that we all have where the AI basically feeds us?
Wow. First of all, if that doesn't already exist, maybe we need to start writing that today.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, great that. Idea. The interesting thing about me, you're really good with forecasting and seeing the future and things like that. I'm okay with it, but I'm really a workhorse. So I'll take something and I'll run with it. I'm like, don't give me any more ideas until I'm finished with this. Right. but what you're saying is definitely something that I've thought about, not as eloquently as you just said it. But I have thought about that because I do think that's going to be part of the future because, I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's the way that AI could be used for a good thing. I think it's really important for us to look for little examples like that you're talking about that can be implemented mm-hmm. in your daily life. Because I think sometimes we think, and it's okay to think big. Like I've sold two companies for 8 figures. So like I'm always thinking big. Like that's not what I'm saying here is, but it's really important for us to think instead of like at that, some people call it 30,000 level or 50,000 level, whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's important to come down to the ground floor and say, what is it in my life like right now that technology could solve, right? Like right now. And mm-hmm. I think that's huge what you just said. I do think that's going to be a thing in the future. I mean, Alexa's kind of doing it, except you have to remind Alexa. That's the flaw, is you have to actually have the motivation to remind Alexa to remind you to do that, right?
And nobody steal the idea.
Yeah, nobody stole the idea. But you said it because I think AI can overcome that flaw because I can tell you from a weight loss perspective and health too. I reversed 6 life-threatening diseases. I had mm-hmm. liver disease. I had hypertension. I think if you have programmers and technology guys on this call, a lot of people are on blood pressure medicine. I was on blood pressure medicine. I'd had 2 hypertensive emergency. I got rid of all that with diet, like overnight. Mm-hmm. But there was that thing, and I think everybody can relate to it. It's that trigger, like, what's going to make me start tomorrow? I think it's the same with if you come up with an idea for an app or an idea for some big project that you're working on, you still have to have that. It's that same trigger, right? That's going to make mm-hmm. you start working on it tomorrow, right? And whatever that trigger is, I think you got to find it. And I think AI in the future could learn. I mean, I think could learn to find what those triggers are better for you than you can find for yourself. And I think that's powerful. That's powerful, yeah. Especially when applied to like what you just said, to like mm-hmm. a diet or not even a diet, like just making better choices. Like, okay, I need to eat, instead of this takeout Chinese food, I need to eat the veggie burrito, like you just said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's hugely powerful.
Yeah. I mean, look, the human animal doesn't want to have to think, right? Like my wife hates it when she has to figure out what to feed the kids. And if the robot basically says, dude, just press this button and we'll get you exactly what you need for your current weight and activity level, then that's what you're going to eat.
Yeah. I think that's amazing. And I think that's putting something on the actual daily active, like, radar of people. You know what I mean? Like, what's today? Because I think a lot of us sometimes get in such of the mode is we can be sitting at our desk working and we're really not working on something that's in our active daily life today. We're working on something that might make us, millions of dollars in 2 years. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so really bringing it down, because it's like the 140 pounds. Like when I started, I never thought I was going to lose 140 pounds. I was just trying to get rid of liver disease, And I thought, okay, well, I've lost a pound. I've lost 2 pounds. I've lost 5 pounds. And I lost 120 pounds in 6 months. In 6 months. So like,
yeah,
it's just,
crazy.
Yeah, it's just you put something into action. And I've seen this with software and with code and apps all the time. Like I worked on an application that I sold in June of 2018. I started working on it literally to solve a different problem. And it became this, mm-hmm. this huge, thing, but I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it like, okay, it's going to solve a problem for me today. And I think AI could be a huge part of that. I mean, we all know AI is big and it's going to be big and it's already is. My wife's a doctor mm-hmm. and she works in a healthcare system. They're already using AI for all kinds of different cool things, right? But how can we use it as everyday people? I think that's to me, that's interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be really cool. Let's check that offline. We'll do a little
Yeah.
A little brainstorming session. Will we be eating meat off of like a living cow in 20 years?
I really do not. Off of a living cow, I think that, well, already grass-fed meat, for example, is like only 3% of all the beef that we eat in the country. Most of it's already some way artificially. I'm not saying the cow is artificial, but it's they're being artificially fed nutrients and things like that that's passing into our bodies already. But I think in the future, the people that are eating off live beef, that people eating live beef off live animals is going to be a tiny fraction percentage of people, tiny fraction, people that just refuse to change, which I understand that. Like, you're going to have people who always are going to be holdouts or the outliers or whatever you call it, based on like whatever framework and principles you follow. But I think it's going to be a very, very small number. I think beef is on its way out. I really do. It has been on its way out, but it's still a huge industry. But I think you said in 20 years? Or did you say 10 years?
Yeah, let's say 20 years.
I think 20 years, it's less than 1% of all beef being eaten. Is less than 1% in my mind. Maybe down to zero.
So in terms of I guess the fake meats, that sort of thing. I wonder if it's like the self-driving car. Once we have a quorum of self-driving cars on the road, basically everybody's going to switch over, and it doesn't really matter at some point, right?
Yeah. Meat is a weird thing, and I'm living this every day, and it's funny. Mm-hmm. That's two nerds here sitting here talking about beef, right?
but it's really interesting.
It's really interesting, and it is important. The meat thing's a different thing. I think in terms of looking at things like burger, let's take Burger King, for example, the Impossible Whopper. Well, something I really didn't know until not too long ago was 93% of all people that were, and this was kind of before the crisis we're going through now. A lot of people have changed eating habits, obviously, which is a whole nother subject. But 93% of everybody eating the Impossible Whopper before were not plant-based or vegan, which that's crazy, right? People were just wanting to try new food because it was crazy, because it was different. It was something they could try. In their mind, they felt like it was a little bit healthier, even though it's arguably whether it is healthier or not. But I think that's different, though. In the future, I feel like it's going to be more like, people are going to be looking at, instead of ingredients, actual meals. So like tacos, people aren't going to necessarily say, I want to eat beef. They're going to more say, I want to eat tacos, and how's the healthiest way I can make tacos? You know what I'm saying? So there's a big difference between.
I think that's exactly what we're talking about. It's like,
yeah,
I don't want to have, I love myself some steak, and I love the whole, all the associated, and this is akin to, like, I don't know, smoking crack as well.
Yeah.
If you want to get down to this physiology and psychology of it.
Sure.
But you're in a situation where you say to yourself, I want to eat this steak, and I want to eat this steak because I love the way it tastes. I love the experience of going to the steakhouse. I love having all the wine with it, et cetera, et cetera. But if it's not available to me, I'm not sure that I'm going to be like trying to break my leg to get this access to this thing, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly it. I mean, you nailed it. And steak is the, I guess I call it the lowest common denominator factor, because that's always the thing that'll be the last thing, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's just steak. It's just a piece of meat on a grill, right? And it's easy to cook for a lot of people, and a lot of people associate steak with more like a luxury lifestyle, I guess. Right. Mm-hmm. So people associate, so steak, what you said, you go into a steakhouse, all those things, but even at home, people associate grilling a steak with some higher end lifestyle in their minds or something. You know what I mean? And I think steak will be the last thing to adjust to all this, but like sandwiches and burgers and tacos and pizza and all these other things. And cheese is the other big one that's going to be the last adjustment, just plain cheese. Right. And so I think that's, All those things are, when you think of those things, can all be done in a healthy way that taste amazing, that are a lot healthier for you. and eat mm-hmm. and in every aspect, regardless of what you're looking at. If you're looking at calories, if you're looking at nutrients, if you're looking at vitamin, whatever it is, you can make a taco a lot healthier for you than if you're eating a standard American taco right now.
I mean, I think that's exactly what you hit on with your product. You basically said you're going to enjoy some fine food here. It's going to taste akin to getting a barbecue brisket
yep.
on some Texas toast, and you can lose potentially 160 pounds simply because you're not eating so much garbage.
Exactly.
You know, and because it tastes so good, let's say the old you would have eaten enough brisket. I know I would. Enough brisket to choke a horse.
Yeah.
Now you can eat plant-based brisket to choke that same horse, and it's a little bit less of an effect.
100%. And I had a little bit of an advantage because other than being a programmer for over 25 years, I actually on my side hustle for over almost 30 years was a professional pit master. I still am.
Oh, there you go.
I won the American Royal in meat-based barbecue. So I had the reason I started this company is I had a story and a background to go with it. So, professional pit masters came along, a lot of them who I'm friends with, famous ones like guys on TV cooking barbecue, come along and say, oh, you guys should all try Brian's barbecue. And instead of them saying, oh, that's stupid, why would you make burnt ends out of sweet potatoes? They're like, hold on, mm-hmm. this guy won the American Royal. So his food's probably going to taste pretty good. So there's, mm-hmm. you see what I mean? So it's like, there's this whole difference of just making your food taste amazing than just the idea of, you know what, I'm just going to stop eating meat tomorrow. That's too hard. That's too hard. Yeah.
Like cooking well in the concept that would by focusing primarily on vegetable based stuff with the same flavors and the same smoke, et cetera, just trying to capture that same feeling.
Yeah. Without the weirdness too. Without the weirdness. I think that's really important because I'm not vegan. I don't really consider myself plant-based. I don't really consider myself really anything. It's just, I like to eat flavors that I like to eat and I'm just making them as healthy as possible. And I, after doing the research, I decided that plants and vegetables were the healthiest.
Do we still have cook-offs in 20 years? Do we still have brisket cook-offs? Do we still have whatever the pit contests and things?
If I have anything to do with it, and I believe I will in that space in 20, let's see, how old am I? 45, 55, 65. Yeah. I probably will work until I'm 70. So,
okay.
I think that's 100%. Is it going to look the same as it is today? Mm-hmm. No, but I 100% think you will definitely be having cook-offs. We may see that sooner than 20 years, though. That we maybe start seeing virtual cook-offs and stuff here. Maybe we might be talking weeks on this, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting question to actually do this podcast now. I kind of restarted the podcast over. I took a break over the winter because I was programming something. But now in this climate, we're the actual future that we're talking about that we never talked about even a year ago was that, virtual is going to be the virtual situations are going to be the way that we interact in the future. Uh-huh. I mean, it's become apparent to, I guess, your boomer manager who says you have to be in this, you have to be in the cubicle and sit in front of the computer all day so I know that you're working. He's figured out that, he's going to get more. Or she's figured out that she's going to get more productivity out of a person who's comfortable and sitting and feels to a degree almost like this is the programmer's curse that they have to be useful or else they get fired. Does this generally change the way we interact in the future? What does 2022 look like in terms of online interaction, in terms of even just meeting with friends?
Oh my gosh. Especially in our world, the programming world and developer world, CTO, whatever it is you are, software architect, we all go by different names, right? Based on the situation, engineer, whatever you want to be called. This is like interesting. It's so interesting because it was trending the other way. And I think you can probably speak on this better than me, John, but I was starting to see a lot of like companies going the opposite direction, like they weren't able to feel like they were getting enough productivity out of their developers from a remote aspect. So they were starting to require like you have to be on site Most job applications I've been seeing a lot before this happened was, we want you on site, and basically they're saying, we want to look over your shoulder, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a nightmare for especially senior level developers, right? And people that don't know what they do and that they're faking it. You know what I mean? That's a nightmare for those people, which that's a large percentage of people that don't know how to actually write code. Like kids coming out of school now, they don't know how to write code anymore. They know how to go out and find libraries and copy and paste them and kind of piece it together, right? We learned how, we had to write from scratch when we were in college or when we were self-taught, right? I mean, we had to learn how to do it. So I think it was going the opposite direction. Now it's take a completely 360 turn to where I think this is a huge advantage. It's a huge win for us as programmers for sure. Because now we're able to really be able to be productive at home. But I think there's going to have to be companies, the biggest thing with them is putting more measures in place to actually be able to track productivity, you know, but it's huge. It's going to be for companies and people that had people in cubicles before. I think this is a great thing for them. Where it's a little dangerous is people like trying to start businesses. They think they can jump online now and start any business that they can think of to teach people how to work from home. And that's just not going to be the case, because it's a battle for screen time right now. It's a huge battle for screen. We're going to have this podcast. I mean, when you publish this, wherever you're going to publish it, it's going to be a battle for get people to listen. Sure. Right. And yeah,
it's only 20 minutes long. So because I know that people just don't have any time to listen.
No. And it's getting worse, because here's the thing I've been thinking about a lot lately is, as internet famous might not even exist anymore in a year from now, because real actual famous people are coming online now, like LeBron James and like Garth Brooks. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine when Garth Brooks comes online the other day and did like a 2-hour concert, and he had what, 6 million watchers? What were those 6 million people watching before, right? He took them from somebody else.
Yep.
So there's going to be this huge battle of like, how do you get screen time? And it was already a battle before. It's going to be even bigger now, because actual famous people are coming online who already have the eyeballs. You know what I mean?
All right, brother. This is going to be a fun episode. Where can people buy your sauces and things?
Well, the best thing to do with me is go to brianrogers.com. My name. Yes, I'm old enough that I actually have myname.com. Brian Rogers, B-R-I-N, it's R-O-D-G-E-R-S, brianrogers.com. From there, that's my main site. You can find all my social media, all my media kits, all my stuff, companies there. And feel free to connect with me. I'd love to connect with any friends of John for sure.
All right, super. This has been Technotopia. I'm John Biggs. Thanks, Brian, for joining us. Great.
Take care, John. Bye-bye.
Technotopia is brought to you by Happy Fun Corp. Happy Fun Corp is a design-driven technology company in Brooklyn, New York that specializes in building mobile and web applications for startups and Fortune 500 companies. Whether it's a new mobile or web application that will help people experience the internet in a fun new way, or software that will interface with a new piece of top-secret hardware, Happy Fun Corp is always up to the challenge. Big or small, Happy Fun Corp loves building software and loves working with great people. Come build with them. HappyFunCorp.com.